Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brotherhood Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
Speak to us to show us how he wanted us to move in Japan. Right now, on his wages weigh on their hearts. And so, you know, we started asking the question then, so how do we, what's the best way to employ these people, and how do we help to make that actually work? And I mean, I feel privileged that I got invited to be a part of the group. I think, one of the reasons for that is that I've been there before. Another reason for that, I think, is that a lot of this, the Japan team in Long Beach here, has some association with our congregation. There's someone sitting right there. And so I got a chance to go and speak into this a little bit. But we really want to hear from God and to find out, Lord, how you want us to approach all this. I just want to show you a couple more pictures so you get kind of a flavor for some of the things we saw. This lodge that popped up right here, this is in North Korea, which is in the mountains. It's got a ski resort. The lodge is owned by Encompass. There's another lodge behind it, which is sort of a hotel. They run it all as a business. They have a ski snowboard school there. In the summer, they teach people how to mountain bike. But they also do a lot of outdoor education for schools. And the business is all run by believers. So the employees of the business are all believers. They are building relationships, year after year with the people who come up there. They also do internships where people from the States or from other countries can come and spend anywhere from 3 months to 2 years with them and kind of learn what it means to be in another culture and live as a believer on missionary day. So they do these sorts of things. Notice we got a play in the snow. That's kind of nice. This is a picture of the inside of the bat lodge. It's really kind of fancy and nice. The story behind the bat lodge is just amazing. They had the one in the front, which is kind of old and rickety, and the one in the back was owned by a city down the mountain, and no one was ever using it, and they wanted to get rid of it. By the time everything got said and done, it's about a $4 million property that they ended up getting for, by the time they did all the repairs and everything, a rest of $100,000. But I think they actually paid $5,000 for the thing, but then they had to do some repairs to bring it up to code. And it's beautiful. It's a really beautiful place. It's a nice place to go. And the folks there who are running it are just great. I wanted to show you, too, this is sort of a typical hotel room in Japan. They have what they call the tommy mats on the floor, which is sort of a low wooden mat that instead of carpet, it goes wall to wall, padded just a little bit. And basically, you roll out a few cards, put some sheets on it, and that's where you sleep. Right? So that's pretty much how it works here. A little place in the back has some low chairs you can sit in. But that's what a hotel room looks like. This is one of the meals that we shared. And this is one of the traditional Japanese meals that we have. And one thing you'll notice is that there are a zillion plates. Okay, they have a center plate for everything. They put a little vegetable on this plate, a little piece of squid on that plate, it's just something's different on every plate. And either you sit on the floor or you sit in these very low chairs. I was very happy for the very low chairs. The floor was not comfortable for me. This is a close-up sort of the meal. You see a little tempura in the middle, a fish on the back. There's a lot of seafood. They eat a lot of seafood. Fish is not my favorite thing in the world. But I managed, right? We made it through. A lot of sushi. This picture here, this is Ralph and Joan, who's just giving you a visual so you remember they stopped in here a few times and said hi to us. They're old friends of Lori's and mine. Actually, Ralph met Joan and I met Lori on the same day at the same retreat. And so we kind of have that in common. We've known each other a long time. Churches know them a long time. They're great, great people. So when it comes to ministry, both here and in Japan, the issue is the gospel, right? The gospel is a very simple thing. What can anybody tell me the gospel is like 10 words or less? Can you shrink it down that much? Tell me the gospel is 10 words or less?
Good news.
Well, that's cheating. Yeah. He's just translating the word gospel, right? And that means good news.
For Jesus was born, he lived and died for our sins, and raised the third day for us.
Okay, Jesus was born, he lived, perfect life, he died for our sins, and he raised the third day according to the scripture. 4:25, you know, and I'm going to pound this guy to you guys over and over again. It says he was delivered up because of our transgressions, and he was raised because of our justification. That's the gospel. Right? There's a lot of other implications that come with that. Right? But that's the essence of it, that our sins are forgiven. And that we have been given eternal life. And we're given that based on what Jesus did for us. The gospel is a very simple thing. It's not hard to understand. Sometimes it can be very hard to believe. It's very simple, but seeing it penetrate and transform cultures is not very simple at all. Japan, for instance, you know, it's as large a country as it is. Like I said, you know, it's about half the population, almost half the population of the United States, and living in a space the size of California. Tokyo itself, you know, is a city that's got as much population as California. So there's a lot of people in a very small space. And the culture is quite unique. Japan is the second largest unreached people group in the world. When we are talking about unreached people groups, we're talking about people who are ethnically the same, speaking one language, ethnically the same, and a very small percentage of believers, less than 1%. Encompass likes to focus its attention on these kinds of groups in the world. Now, usually when we think unreached people group, what do we think? We take some tribe in the middle of the Amazon somewhere, right, that has never had the Bible translated into their language and never had an opportunity to hear the gospel. We don't usually think first world country like Japan, you know, all the modern conveniences, and still no gospel penetration into that culture. If you're wondering who the first largest, Japan used to be the largest, but now that they've all these people in Bangladesh are now the largest people. So there's another group that needs to be reached. Now, one of the things we found when, you know, going into Japan, 126 million people, 0.4% Christian, is that we met a lot of Christians. Okay, because if you know where to find them, you can find them, right? Because they're there. 0.4% of 128 million people, about 600,000, 625,000, something like that, potential believers, evangelical believers. In Japan. So it's not like they're not there. It's just that in terms of the overall culture, in terms of any kind of impact, it just simply, doesn't exist. So the emperor created this culture in Japan with many, many spiritual strongholds. There are a lot of things. See, you're not that Satan likes to work. He likes to get us thinking in a certain way. It sort of creates a maze in our minds so that when we start to hear the gospel, it doesn't make any sense to us. Or we feel like we understand it, but then we run it around in our head and we end up finding a rock wall. And we just can never get to a place where we can actually believe it. There are those kinds of strongholds in the United States. They're different from the strongholds that are in Japan. In the United States, some of the things that keep us from the gospel are things like, you know, thinking that we're good enough. Right? That we don't really need to have any help from anybody else. We're running individuals, and we can take care of ourselves all the way ahead, right? We tend to think that way. Or we tend to think that that, you know, science is king and there is no God, and why would I believe that antiquated stuff that those Christians believe? Or we tend to think that if I become a Christian, you know, all the fun will go out of my life. You know, there won't be anything I can do anymore. There'll be a lot of jokes and very few dudes. You know, which is not at all what Christianity is. Christianity is about a relationship with God through His Son Jesus Christ. It's about finding the purpose in your life. It's about recognizing that you were made for something more than just a few years on this earth. You know, so it's the kind of thing where we have to get around those strongholds in order to be able to bring the gospel. And Japan has many, many of these strongholds. For some reason, that one slide doesn't want to work. So I'll get some new one. This one. All right, here are some of the strongholds that I think exist in Japan. Number one, there's no concept of a creator God. And there just is no concept. They worship many, many gods. And even the religion that they have, everybody sort of embraces it. But no one God that's over here, the God that's over there. They're not thinking at all in terms of one God. They have no concept of sin. One of the things that I hadn't heard before, and I heard on the trip, was that when you go to share the gospel with somebody, you try to tell them that they need to be forgiven for their sin, and they've never been arrested for a crime, those words are the same. And so they think, I've never been arrested, I don't have any sin. You got to get caught and have sin. Alright, so you start to share the gospel propositionally, and you try to share the truth, and there's no framework for people to even begin to understand it. So one of the things that they're trying to do is they, if you can get people in a long-term relationship, they'll start in Genesis and they'll try to create an entire framework from the Bible so that people understand what you're talking about by the time you get to Jesus. Maybe it's just very hard to actually penetrate with words. Also, one of the things we heard over and over and over again, the term they used for it was circles. Relational circles. And so they would say that these relational circles are very isolated. And they don't know about a lot. Like a good example would be if you're a father and a family and you're working in a business and the business has a party, you would never invite your wife or your children to the party. Okay, so all your friends at the business have never even met your wife. Okay, so there's no overlap. Relationally. And one of the ways that the gospel spreads is that when you tell one person, they tell another person, they tell another person, right? And so then it spreads through these natural webs of relationships that exist. But in Japan, those webs are very isolated. You know, we like to talk about there being 6 degrees of separation, right? And sometimes not even say it's down to 4. Where if, I know someone who knows someone else who knows someone else who knows someone else, who knows where. The old joke used to be where Osama bin Laden is. But now we know where Osama bin Laden is, so the joke doesn't work anymore. But you get the point, right? You get the point that the world is a close place, but in Japan, people are isolated more than that. And so, there might only be one person that exists in each one of those groups. And so for the gospel to spread, it's harder for it to get through it. There's also a lot of cultural obligation. They worship their ancestors. And so there's a lot of sense of, I'm carrying on the traditions that have been given me. And this thing from the West, this Christianity, has come into us a couple of times by war. It just doesn't fit with what the expectations of our culture are on us. And these are just a few. Okay, how many, many, many strongholds that exist. In Japan, that make the gospel difficult to go through. One of the things that I found interesting was as I heard people share their testimony, Japanese people share their testimony about how they came to faith, I probably heard 20 testimonies while I was in Japan, and one thing they all had in common is that not one person who spoke to us came to faith because someone shared with them the propositional truth of the gospel. Not one person. Here you go, we think that's the way it works, right? We share the truth with you, and we believe the truth, you become a Christian. Not one of these people said it was the truth that God had. Every single one said, I experienced the love of God through another believer. I got this relationship with this Christian, and this Christian loved me and cared about me. And I'm starting to realize then that God cares about me, and so I believe. And then after they believe, they start understanding the truth. But almost every one of us, I experience the love of God. Or we experience, sometimes as a whole group, we experience the love of God. And therefore, we gave ourselves over to God. Sometimes they said they experienced the power of God. And sometimes it was something as simple as, I wanted to catch a certain kind of fish, and this guy prayed for me that I'd catch that kind of fish because it's worth a lot of money and you hardly ever catch them. And the next day I went out and I caught that fish. And you think, well, that's a little strange. But what it did was it opened their mind and their heart to begin to consider the truth of God. Where apart from those experiences, I didn't meet one person who hadn't we can pray about those issues specifically for specific people. Right? That the Lord would open their eyes, open their heart, that He would give them an experience of His love and of His grace, so that they would be more open to receive His truth. Okay, so we need to think in those terms, that these strongholds are spiritual, and they need to be counteracted. They need to be counteracted with the truth, but if you can't get the truth in there, because there's no framework for people to understand it, it makes it very, very difficult. So, we need to pray that their hearts will open up, and that God will then have the opportunity to break in and tear some of these things down. From what I saw, I believe that the seeds of movement have already been planted in Japan. If you talk with a variety of different folks, so let's just talk about the Rockefeller Seminar to begin with. In their circle, there are about 50 believers. And they meet in three or four different small groups. Now, right now, they don't bring those groups together for anything bigger than that. They just have these three or four different small groups, but all together, there's about 50 believers. And those believers, each and every one that I've met, is a strong disciple. They're actually embracing the Lord, submitting their lives to the Lord, looking for and praying for their unbelieving relational connections, and being willing to step up and share the gospel with them. So these people are ripe and ready to go. And I also believe, we went from Tokyo to Osaka, and when we were in Osaka, we talked to three different groups of people, and all three were seeing fruit of the gospel being born in the lives of people. We met with a group called the Mustard Seed Church. There's some friends of Jason Dunn's who we connected us with. They're from Southern California. They're the worship leader of the church in Southern California. They're a church that is doing more of a Western-style church, but they're seeing some fruit in that. We met with two other groups that are doing more of an organic church approach, where they're using OPGs, the very same thing that we use to do discipleship. There's cards in the back if you want to grab one, but it's where you read a lot of scripture with another person. You get together and hold each other accountable, confess your sins to one another, and you pray for specific unbelieving friends that you have. This is a tool that was developed right here. And over there, I got to see it there. And, they showed us picture after picture after picture of four generations of believers. Based off of using these tools. And I can tell you how humble I felt to not any part at all, in seeing that happen. But I only say all this to say to you that I think the seeds are ready, that they're there, and it's ready, ready to go. I want to share a couple of verses with you, and then I'll close it out. This is the gospel. Jesus was delivered up because of our transgressions, and He was raised because of our justification. He went to the cross, not for His own sin, but because of our sin. He was raised from the dead, not because He was God, but because my sin and your sin and the sin of everyone who believes in Him was forgiven once for all forever. That's why Jesus was raised from the dead. It's proof that God accepted that sacrifice on our behalf. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful in the destruction of fortresses, strongholds. Not physical castles. myself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might set free those who, through the fear of death, have been slaves all their lives. And this is the point I want you to understand. The other thing that was super, super clear to me as I talked to Japanese people is that person after person after person is afraid. They're afraid to take their own thoughts. If somebody is in charge of them, they'll just bow and say yes. They're afraid to take their own thoughts. They're afraid they're going to get in trouble. They're afraid that to really look for any kind of answers in life. They don't really spend a lot of time in this one life. I mean, they don't spend a lot of time thinking about life. They just kind of move through it, moment by moment. And there's a lot of us who are the same. We live in fear. Fear directs our lives. We're afraid that we're not going to have enough money. We're afraid that we're not going to have a place to live. We're afraid that we're going to get sick. If we get sick, we're afraid that we're going to die. Okay, we're afraid. And the gospel was meant to set us free from that. See, when we talk about the simple gospel and we say, okay, here it is. It's our forgiveness of our sins and the gift of eternal life. Well, those two things, you know, one results in the other. Our sins are forgiven, eternal life is given to us. We have nothing to